Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I wonder, as we get older in life, we find ourselves in a struggle. Rather than calling out to God, we say, I got it taken care of, God. I got some money put away, or I've got this person I can go to, instead of calling out to God and relying on Him.
Is there ever a time to stop relying on God? Do we ever have a better solution than God's plan? God is looking for hearts that are loyal to Him, for hearts that say in the midst of the storm, Lord, I will trust in You, when the waves are tossing my world to and fro. Trust and depend wholeheartedly on Him today. With more from 2 Chronicles 14 through 16 in our series, High Resolution, Seeing Jesus More Clearly, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Idolatry had crept into the land of Israel. Idolatry had covered the hills. By the time Jeremiah comes along, Jeremiah will tell the children of Israel, you have committed adultery on top of every green hill in Israel. And he meant adultery as in idolatry. So there had been this spread of false worship. They followed in the footsteps of the Canaanites that they drove out of the land. They themselves are going to be driven out because of it. But God honored Asa because Asa wanted to get back to serving God. He had those high places torn down. He restored the worship to God. It goes on to say then in verse 7, therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities, make walls around them, towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah and carried shields and spears from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and spears and bows and were mighty men of valor. It's a large army. But in verse 9, then it says, Zerah, the Ethiopian, came up against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marsha. So Asa went out against him. So now he's got an army, significant army. He sought God. God's given him peace. Time has gone by, a little bit of time. He hasn't really been put to the test. He's cleaned out the land. He's done a good job. But now he's facing an army that is twice his size, maybe even a little bit bigger than that. And Zerah, this Ethiopian, with 300 chariots, those are like the tanks of their day. And it says, so Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephthah of Marsha, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God, and do not let men prevail against you. So Asa prays this prayer of great faith. Lord, don't let them prevail against us. Probably fearful. He faces his army against an army that is much larger. And he calls out to God, that God would meet him there, trusting, believing that his prayers make a difference. I believe that our prayers, by the way, do make a difference. I believe that's why Jesus said in John chapter 7, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, and you will be answered, the door will be opened, and you will find. I believe that God wants us to continue to pray. And when we face overwhelming odds, who do we trust in? Do we call out upon the name of the Lord? Lord, I'm yours. My life is yours. It's in your hands. I like... There's a couple of different points where God was testing Pastor Chuck, who had founded Calvary Chapel way back in the 60s. And Pastor Chuck would share that when he would pray, he would say, "Lord, this isn't my church, it's your church. So do something to protect your church." I like that attitude in prayer. "Lord, this is yours. My life is yours. I'm yours. Meet me here. Do something great here." And so he prays this great prayer. If Asa is somewhere around 30 years old as an untested king, this is great faith. So it says, so the Lord struck, verse 12, the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah. And the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gear, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil, and they defeated all of the cities of Gear, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered the cities. And there was exceedingly much spoil for them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off the sheep, the camels, abundance, and they returned to Jerusalem. Great victory for them. It says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went to meet with Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you." So now this prophet gets sent by God to talk to Asa. I take it at this point, Asa is still somewhere around 30 years old. And so the prophet says, God's with you. The Lord is with you while you are with him. As long as you're trusting in him, as long as you're walking with God, then God's on your side. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Reminds me of Jeremiah. Seek the Lord and you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart. Seek him and he will be found by you. Isn't that a great promise? That if we seek God, we'll find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. Even when they had turned away from God, even when they were at a distance from him and their life fell apart, they called out to God and God was found by them. Again, another principle that I think that we live by. God's ears are never closed to us. We find ourselves at a distance from him. Maybe we've gone down a different path. Things have fallen apart. And in the midst of our turmoil and trouble, we call out to God and God meets us there. He goes on to say, and in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all of the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken on the mountains of Ephraim. Now, he had done that when he first became king. Does this mean that over those 10 years between the time that he became king and the Ethiopians came, that they went and they put the idols back up again? Perhaps. Perhaps he didn't get them 100% out. But now he says, let's do it. Let's get them all, or let's get those things that have been set back up again. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then they gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, And from there came over to him a great number from Israel when they saw that the Lord God was with them. Even people from the northern kingdom of Israel came over to meet with Asa when they saw that God was with them. So they gathered together in Jerusalem in the third month. Now let's jump ahead to chapter 16. Asa has this great victory when he's young. Now it's the 36th year of the reign of Asa. So a lot of time has passed in just those few verses that we skipped over and the gap that you look at between chapter 15 and chapter 16. 36 years. If you just call him 20 when he became king, he is now 56 years old. He's a well-established king. He knows how kings rule. He's met other kings in the world. He has had interaction. He's had time to think about how to handle things. When he was younger and challenged by the Ethiopians, he called out on God. So in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah. Now remember, there is an ongoing civil war. Some people are traveling from Israel to Jerusalem to worship God. That was always a tension between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. People wanted to go up to where the temple was. And Jeroboam had become fearful that they would go up and start to serve the king Rehoboam, and so he forbade it. Even built an altar in Bethel and Dan for people to go and worship God and put up golden calves there, by the way, reinstituted golden calf worship in Israel right after Solomon. So now Ramah is a section right before you get to Judah. If you're going south towards Judah, you come to Ramah first of all. So Baasha, the king of Israel, it says, comes up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come to Asa, the king of Judah. And they weren't really coming to Asa. They were coming to Jerusalem to worship. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And he sent to Ben-Hadad and said, "Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have set before you silver and gold. Come break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard that he stopped building Ramah, ceased his work. Then King Asa took all of Judah and carried away the stones and the timbers of Ramah, which Baasha used for building, with which he built Gibeah and Mizpah. Now, when I was a teenager, I was reading through the Bible two chapters at a time. Started in Genesis and was making my way through the Bible. And when I got to this section, I'm reading about King Asa. He's a young king. He does what's right. God's with him. The million-man Ethiopian army comes against him. He calls out to God, and God rescues him. And then he has this battle with Baasha. And when I'm reading it, I'm going, good job, Asa. You did it. But results don't always mean that you've done the right thing. You can't always count on results being what God wanted you to do. It's not always the right thing, and it's not always the best thing for you. And that was the case with Asa. For the very next thing that I read, I found myself saying, bad job, Asa. From good job, Asa, to bad job. It says, and at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Labim not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal towards him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him. Because of this, Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Can you imagine? Asa even turns and begins to oppress the people. Well, what had happened to Asa? When Asa's young and he's attacked by this army, 30 years old, he's had nothing but peace. He has no clue what to do. So he calls out on God. Now when he's 56 years old, he knows what to do. What do kings do? Well, they send some money to a foreign army. They hire a mercenary army. They come and protect them, and you win, and you don't have to put any of your men out. And so Asa trusted in the Syrian army rather than trusting in the Lord. And so when Hananiah shows up, Hananiah says, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro across the face of the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal towards him. When I was a teenager, I was taught that it said this. They didn't quote it this way, but this is what they how they applied it. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro across the face of the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose lives are sinless. That's how they applied it. My shock when I got to this text on my own was, he's looking for loyalty. He's not looking for a perfect heart. He's not looking for a sinless man. He only found one in Jesus. Other than that, he's still looking. But he's looking for the person who will say, God, in the midst of my trouble, I will turn to you. When I face an army like the Ethiopians, I will turn to you. Seems to me the army of Israel, the battle against Ramah, was a smaller battle. And yet he didn't trust in God in what was smaller because he knew what to do. I wonder if the same thing doesn't happen to pastors. I wonder if when we're young and we go out and we start what God's called us to do, and there's things that are so big and we rely upon God, but after a while, I got things figured out, God. I'll let you know if I need you. Otherwise, I'll just keep kind of fixing things that are going on instead of calling out on the Lord. Or I wonder, as we get older in life, we find ourselves in a struggle. Rather than calling out to God, we say, I got it taken care of, God. I got some money put away, or I've got this person I can go to, instead of calling out to God and relying on him. Hananiah didn't say, the eyes of the Lord are looking at you to show himself strong to you. He gave us a bigger picture of the eyes of God. The eyes of God are moving back and forth across the face of the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal. That means he's looking today for people who will say, in the midst of the struggle and the difficulty, God, I trust in you. And for God to show himself strong in each one of our lives. Look at what happens to Asa, which is tragic. It really is. Asa is one of the good guys. He's a good king. But it says in verse 11, note that the act of Asa, the first and the last, indeed are not written in the books of the kings of Judah, and in the 39th year of his reign, so not that much longer, it was the 36th year of his reign that Baasha came up and built the stronghold of Ramah. The 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb. And they made for himself in the city of David. And that he had made for himself in the city of David. And laid him in a bed which was filled with spices. And it goes on to talk about his burial. But what a tragedy for a man at 30 years old to have such great faith that he could say, Lord, I need your help. And God would meet him there and give him a victory. And then at 56 years old, he's got things squared away. And I wonder, as we grow older, if we not only grow in maturity, as Paul said, putting away the things of a child and not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but growing up in Christ, but if we also might not kind of figure out life. I got to figure it out, God. That he could even have a severe malady in his feet and not call out to God, who had even answered his prayer earlier. And could it be that there is something now that's going on in our lives that we're relying on anything else, anyone else, but God, instead of, first of all, going to the Lord and saying, Lord, meet me here. Do something. Do this in my life. May it be that by faith this year that we would trust in the Lord, that we would find ourselves in whatever struggle it is, not leaning back on what we know, what we have. He had the money in the treasury to hire the mercenary army, but that's not what God wanted. God wanted him to rely upon him, and may we rely upon him in the midst of all of it, for God's eyes are searching. May God's eyes stop here and show himself strong. I remember as a 16, 17-year-old saying to God, Lord, stop here. Show yourself strong in my life. May he show himself strong here in our lives, that we may be amazed at how God meets us and meets our needs. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, what a great account. The account of Asa, who as a young man trusted you, and you met him there. But as an older man, trusted in his own wisdom and in his own ability, in his own finances. And even though there was a victory, it wasn't good for Asa. Lord, we know that there's more going on in us than just the battles we fight or being victorious in a certain battle. That there's more taking place inside of each one of us. We want to be the kind of men and women that you want us to be. We realize the pride that a king is prone to. We pray that you would help us, that we would put away that pride and trust in you with everything that we have. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. May you find yourself being faithful to the Lord. May the loyalty towards God be there. Continue to clean up your life, even as Asa did when he was young, and trust in God all the days of our lives and see God do great things.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive,
That's JULIAN Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.